Your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. And I've entitled our message, We Will Ever Be Royals. And if you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Just signal to them. Instead of we'll never be royals, we'll ever be royals. And I've broken our message down into four sections. Unfortunately, in first service, we only got to the third point. So we'll just be going to the third point, but I'm going to read them all to you. The Son's Reward, the Spirit Revealed, Service Rendered, and Swollen Religion. Like I said, we'll only get to the service rendered. As we continue through the book of Galatians, you'll see that the theme is that we have freedom. We have freedom in the Spirit. We are under grace, not under law. There's not hoops we have to jump through. Listen, we are saved by grace. There's no works. You can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. But that doesn't mean we don't try because we love the Lord. But we'll look at that in greater detail. Now, last week, when I ended, I told you those last four verses, I didn't want to just skim over them. So we read them and I kind of just barely gave you a synopsis. But the Lord really placed those verses on my heart. And so we're going to look at them and I'm going to spend a little bit of time here and show you what the Lord revealed to me. So turn back to chapter 3 and let's look at the last four verses. It says in verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So how do you become a son of God? Faith in Christ. It's not works. It's not, you know, coming to church and reading your Bible and praying. None of that stuff saves you. You get to do that stuff once you are saved. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the cross of Christ, to believe in it and wholeheartedly put your faith in it. And we'll talk about that in a little more detail. But there's no work. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. Verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. Now, remember I told you last week there are two kinds of baptisms. There's a wet and a dry. This is a dry baptism. Listen, you put on Christ the day you received Christ. And that's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, John gave us insight to that, the John the Baptist. He said, one is coming who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water. So this baptism here, listen, if you accepted Christ, you received him then. You don't have to wait till I dunk you and then you receive Christ. No, you've already received him. Remember, baptism is a reenactment of what has happened in your heart. And by the way, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You get to be baptized once you're saved. So keep that in mind. And so he says this, what do? You have put on Christ. Okay, so keep that. Hang that on your belt, putting on Christ. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that. Verse 28. And here's where the Lord really put something on my heart, and I'll share with you. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. Now, I told you last week that if you were a Jewish man, every morning your prayer would be this. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. Thank you, Lord, that I am free and not a slave. And then he'd say, thank you, Lord, that I am male and not a female. Well, listen. That's not the way God feels. What he's saying here is it doesn't matter if you're male or female. He loves you just the same. If you're male or female, you get the Holy Spirit. If you're slave or free, you get the Holy Spirit. If you're Jew or Gentile, you can receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to earn it. And definitely, you don't have to be circumcised. And like I said, the Judaizers were coming in and telling the Gentiles, hey, you accepted Christ? Good. But you have to be circumcised as well. Now, here's what the Lord put on my heart. So here's this Jewish male waking up and saying, thank God I'm a Jew and not a Gentile, and thank God I'm free and not a slave, and thank God I'm a male and not a female. That's not the right heart. And unfortunately, and you'll agree with me, in today's society, the news media has tainted America. And here's how they've tainted America. Because of the news media, and I'm going to prove it to you, because of the news media, racial hatred and racial violence seems to be a pivotal point in America. And that is not true. That's not true. I'm going to make some statements today that are not PC. They're not politically correct, but they are accurate. Okay, I don't ever care about being politically correct. I care about being accurate. And I'm going to prove to you why to say that America is not racist. It's not. Now, there are racist people in America, but that's like saying this. Some women get raped every day. That means all men are rapists. No. And I want you to know this. I struggled with thinking along the lines of what I'm going to share with you, because I don't think this way. I don't think race. I see men and women, and that's all I see. Two eyes, two nose, two ears, two hairs, whatever you got. It's the same. So here's what I'm going to say. Has there been racism in America? Yes. Yes. Can we show the first picture, please? Yeah. Remember this? Well, maybe you don't remember, but little kids, there was a time. But listen, let me ask you, what about this? Okay, let me prove to you, there was racism. When was the last time you went to a restaurant that said whites only? No dice. Or how about gone to a drinking fountain that said whites only or colored only? No. Why? Because there isn't racism in America anymore. There is some racist, and the news media picks up. Listen, there are bad cops and there are good cops. There are bad people and there are good people. But when news media focuses in on the racial aspect and then listens to the few people who are racist and puts them on the news, puts them on TV, all of a sudden there is racism. Why? Because they're talking about it. But it was interesting. As I thought about racism, I did some research and I came across an awesome, intelligent man that you all know, Morgan Freeman. I love this guy, and I love him even more now. I want you to watch this video and listen very carefully. Also, Stacey Dash, but especially Morgan Freeman. Listen to what he says. Pay very close attention. Check it out.
So can I go back to it? Because I thought what you said was fascinating, because you called it bull when you said people can't, you know, pull themselves up. Do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution, or either a mindset that you can't
today?
Or cannot? Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No. I don't. You and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it? Put your mind to what you want to do and go for that.
You know, I said, and it's probably getting me in trouble, but I said to some of my colleagues recently, I know that it's an issue, but it seems like every single day on television I'm talking about race, and it's because of the news cycle, it's in the news, but sometimes I get so tired of talking about it, I want to just go, this is over, can we move on?
And if you talk about it, it exists.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like it exists and we refuse to talk about it, but making it a bigger issue than it needs to be is the problem we have.
I think it's ludicrous.
Why?
Because we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards. And the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard.
So you say there shouldn't be a BET channel?
No, I don't think so, no. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period, that's it.
Black History Month you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There is
no. Oh, why not? Yeah. You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month.
Black history is American history.
Yes.
How are we going to get rid of racism on
stop schools? Talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man.
Amen. They keep talking about it, so therefore it is. And I love that. Morgan Freeman looked across the table and he said, we're proof that there isn't racism. You got two men of color, and if it wasn't for the conversation, I wouldn't even think like that. I see two human beings. And one more brilliant than the other, by the way. But listen, as you look at society, okay, let me, and this is where I struggle because I had to force myself to think black and white, which I'm telling you honestly, I don't even think that way. Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of the leading minds in America, in the world, astrophysicist, sought after for speeches all over the place. He's of color. General Colin Powell, 4-star general, the 65th United States Secretary of State. Brilliant. His IQ is like 175. That's impressive to me for any human being. Condoleezza Rice followed suit. She was the 66th United States Secretary of State. How about Michael Jordan? I want to be like Mike. Every kid saying, I want to be like Mike. No kid is thinking, well, I want to be black. They're thinking, what an awesome human being. What a talented. Did you know this? 2 billion Air Jordans are sold every year. Listen, there's some white people wearing Air Jordans. Can you imagine going to a KKK rally? Hey, those are shoes. Those are Michael Jordan. Your shoes have a black man. Yes, now I need them. Steve Harvey, Oprah. And listen, a director, Spike Lee. Now, he's kind of racist in the movies he makes. I remember before I was saved, I loved White Man Can't Jump. You know, that's Spike Lee. But listen, he didn't have a problem. What about this? Our president of the United States got voted into office. Listen, the majority of America voted for him and are still supporting him. You know what's sad? If I don't like a particular policy that Obama has and I voice it, someone will come up, oh, you're just because he's black. No! I wasn't even thinking that until you brought it up. Stop it. Stop it. Nobody, back when Reagan was in office, if I didn't like a policy, no one said, oh, you just don't like him because he's white. No one said that. No one said that. But all of a sudden, it's this. And it's so sad because we're so beyond that. And the proof is, man, I could have made that list longer if I spent Vin Diesel on and on and on, Halle Berry on and on. There's a bunch. Whoever. Listen, there's not racism. These people aren't in that position because only people of their same race and the Orientals and the Mexican. Listen, Cheech and Chong, Cheech isn't famous because all the Mexicans, like, everybody liked him. At the time, I don't like, well, you know, I pray for him. But back in the day, listen, you know what we have to stop? My people. Listen, Mexican pride, black pride, white pride, Asian pride, Indian pride, either way, Indian pride, it's all pride. And God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You know what? I can say this. Y'all are my people. You know why? It's not based on color or knowledge or how tall you are, how short you are, how strong you are, how weak you are, how rich or poor. It has nothing. It has to do with, I'm going to spend eternity with you. That's all that matters. It's not because of those things. And so, listen, God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of the one who loves him back because he already loves us. So I pray to God, this is the last time and the only time I ever bring that up because I don't like thinking that way. I see human beings You know, if you have an arm growing out of your forehead, we need to talk. I might look at you a little differently. But as long as you're just like me, I'm like you, and my gosh, this race thing, it's all the news media blowing up a few incidences. You know, it's interesting. I was spending some time with a police officer yesterday, and I wasn't arrested. But we were just enjoying some fellowship, and he was telling me about some bad police officers. You know, color, I don't know if they were, what, because they were bad police officers. He also spoke about good police officers. And no need to talk about what race. It's just either you're a good human being or a bad human being. Either you love the Lord or you don't love the Lord. And listen, brothers and sisters, let's not post this junk on our Facebook. We're Christians. Let's be above that. Let's be the ones that move forward and say, this, it's a bunch of lies from the media, and they have an agenda, and we don't want any part of that. We want to love, okay? And by the way, y'all are my people, and there are some people who aren't my people, but I want them to be my people, so I share the gospel with them, okay? No. No. Okay, Galatians chapter 4. Let's move forward. We'll never be royals. Ever be. We'll ever be. I got that song stuck in my head. Okay, sons of reward, verse 1 through 5. And so let's begin here. Now I say that the heirs, as long as he is a child, does not differ from all. Does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. So here Paul has been talking about the fact that these Judaizers have come in and tried to put bonds of chains of legalism upon the new believers. And he comes in and he says, no, you don't understand. Let me paint. And this is, by the way, this is one incredible picture. So we're not going to fly over this. You're going to see. So he says that you are an heir as long as you're a child, and that you don't differ at all from a slave, even though you are the king's son or daughter. You have right to the kingdom. In fact, it'll eventually be your kingdom. But while you're a child, you'll have a guardian and a steward appointed until the appointed time by the Father. So what he says is, listen, when this little child, say I was a king in a castle, and I have a son or a daughter, and they're going to inherit everything when I die, and the appointed time, I'm going to give it all to them, and they'll then be in charge of the castle. But while they're little, I don't give them, let them be in charge. Let's say that I was very, very wealthy. If I had a 10-year-old, I don't give him the keys to the Lamborghini because he don't know what to do with it. He'll kill himself for one. And listen, I don't give a 13-year-old access to the family fortune and say, go to Toys R Us and have a ball. No. Or I don't give a 16-year-old the combination to the gun vault. You don't do that. Listen, it all comes with maturity. As you mature, you get these things that we will be inherited and belong to you. As you mature, you'll get the Lamborghini. You'll get the access to the family fortune. You'll get to get into the gun vault. But not before maturity comes. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, on top of that, if I have my son or daughter, they don't have to earn daughtership or sonship. They don't have to earn it. They just are. Same with us. You, if you have accepted Christ, you are a daughter or a son to the Most Holy God. You don't have to jump through hoops to earn it. Why in the world would you want to go to a church that tells you you have to do this or do that or give this much or do that in order to be saved? That's hogwash. You are free. You are going to inherit it all. You are a son. And guess what? Even the disobedient sons still get the inheritance when time comes. It's just sometimes when you have the disobedient son or daughter, you got to take them out to the woodshed. Sometimes God has to take us to the woodshed. Sometimes God has to ground us. And what I mean by that is sometimes he takes you and he pushes you aside and you're no longer effective for the kingdom of God. He can't use you. Can't have that. And then sometimes he just says, you know, I'm not gonna take you out to the woodshed, and I'm not gonna ground you, but I can't give you the blessings. I can't give you the keys of the Lamborghini. I want to, but you're not mature enough. You're not mature enough. You know what's better than a Lamborghini? The Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that here in more detail. But if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Better than a Lamborghini, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So you trusted in God after you heard the word of truth. And by the way, God's word is truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, so once you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the glory, to the praise of his glory. So what he's saying here is better than the keys to the Lamborghini is the fact that when you truly put your trust in Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is your guarantee that the inheritance is to follow. Holy moly. Listen, when you inherit the kingdom of God, forget the world. We're talking about beyond the galaxies and the universe, beyond it all. And we talked about God's creation last week. I don't want to get too much into that. But what about better than the family fortune? What's better than... Well, check this out. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. At least write it down if you don't want to turn there. Make sure that what I'm teaching you is accurate and correct. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, by the way, you know, maybe none of us here are running for president, but you know, we are going to be reigning over the whole earth with Christ. And you didn't even have to run a campaign. How cool is that? No mudslinging, none of that stuff. You just inherit it. Okay, oh, how about this one? 1 Corinthians 6:3. I really like this one. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? What he's saying there, listen, to judge angels, we're not going to judge God's holy angels, no. There's no condemnation. We are going to judge the demons. You're going to get to judge the demon who's been harassing you your whole Christian walk. He's going to stand before you and you're going to go, Dad, I need the vault, the gun vault. Give me that. What did you do? We're going to judge angels in an appropriate time. Now, by the way, that would be revenge. I'm just letting my mind run with me. We're not going to have revenge. What we are going to judge demons for is how they tried to steal God's glory when God was trying to use us. So it's not for what they did to us or tried to do to us, but for what they were doing to the name of Christ, what they were trying to do in soiling the name of Christ. But you and I, as heirs to the throne, we get to reign over this earth, and then we get to judge demons and give them their right judgment. How cool is that? Notice this. Verse 2. But this child, you and I, heirs to the throne, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Galatians chapter 3, remember we saw this last week, it says this, Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. And you're like, okay, what are you talking about? Listen, you know what our guardian was? When I first got saved, I didn't know how to be a good Christian or a bad guy. I had no idea. I was an atheist. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I didn't know any of that stuff. I just knew, uh-oh, there is a God. Uh-oh. And so then I said, okay, well, in his Bible are rules and laws that I have to follow. And so that was my guardian. The law and God's word was my guardian. But here's the thing. Think about this. When you have a little kid, and let's say you're a Sunday school teacher or you're a daycare or it's your own child and you're raising them, you teach them right and wrong, and eventually they learn it and you don't have to teach them that anymore. Then they're free to make their own decisions as they mature, right? You and I, as we learn from God's word, in the beginning it seems like do's and don'ts, but as you mature, you realize, I'm not going to do that because it's not beneficial for my life. You realize when I was an atheist and I looked at a Christian, I felt sorry for Christians. I was like, what a miserable life. They got all these do's and don'ts and they can't do this. What fun is that? And now as a Christian, I realize I was the pathetic one before I knew Christ because I had the do's and don'ts. Listen, I had to hide my stash so I didn't get arrested. So I didn't go to jail. And you know what? Only by the grace of God did I not go to jail or end up in a car wreck and kill someone or kill myself or my family or someone else. Listen, God frees us. I've never been more at peace and more happy in my whole entire stinking life. And it's only because of the glory and the grace of God, and the word of God has been my tutor to teach me what's right and wrong. Now, here's the thing. The problem is, as Christians, we're spoiled little brats. Because daddy says, don't do this, or daddy says, you should do that. And we're like, I don't want to. And we become those teenagers. You know how teenagers, if there's any teenagers, don't hate me. They know everything. They got it figured out. We're old and senile, you know. They got it all figured out. Listen, as Christians and even some unbelievers, we think we got it all figured out. But God says, okay, you just aren't grown up. You haven't grown up. You're still a little child. Or you're not even adopted by God because you're living according to the world. And unfortunately, we're not going to get to cover that part, but we're all a slave to something. But listen, if you believe in Christ, if you've gotten to the point where you recognize, my gosh, there must be a God. By the way, when I was an atheist, I loved to argue. I had every argument. I stumped a bunch of Christians. And then when I got saved, I said, okay, if there is a God, I should be able to find these answers. Well, guess what? I spent my life answering questions, and now I love talking to atheists because they have a hard time finding something. I even do constant study on what atheist arguments are so that I can't be caught unaware. And I'm here to tell you, there is absolutely an answer to every single atheist response. And I know personally. But listen, if you are a born-again believer, you will ever be a royal. You're meant to be royals. We are. Look at verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. You're in bondage. We were in bondage. I was a slave to sin. My life was, how do I get drunk? How do I get party? How do I get this, that, the other thing? You can fill in the blanks. They are probably, yours were the same as mine. Nothing new under the sun. If you're an unbeliever here today, you are a slave to sin. You're a slave to sex, drugs, lust, power. You're a slave to the lack of power. Some people are so obsessed with power because they don't have it. And here's the cool thing. I got all the power I ever want. In fact, I walk down the street, I hear, I got the power. Boom, boom, boom. People look at me, is that coming from you? Yeah, it sure is. I'm just kidding. No, listen, I look forward to being a royal. I am a royal. It's amazing what God can do through a life that's surrendered to him. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, hold on, let me not get there yet. Hang on to that. Hang Jesus said on your belt. Here you go. Do you want to know what the biggest, most deceptive, most common type of bondage there is for unbelievers and for some people who claim to be believers? You know what the biggest form of bondage? Do you want to know? Someone's out there going, no, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Self. Self. Even in the church, there are people who say, oh, I know Jesus. I know of God. I carry my Bible. I do this. But when it comes to, oh, the Bible says I shouldn't do that. Well, okay. Well, you know, it's just a little sin. Really? The cross wasn't a little cross. It was a horrific, agonizing, bloody, heinous, beautiful. When I realized that that was mine and Christ took my spot. He took your spot. So when we look and we say, well, the Bible says I should be forgiving. The Bible says I should be living in purity. The Bible says, you know, I should be loving and do all these things. Yeah, but, you know, God grades on a curve, right? You know why some people go to church? Because it's religious activity. And you go, okay, so what? You know why they want a religious activity? They want religious activity to make up for the ungodly activity so that they feel better about themselves. Maybe it'll balance out. Maybe I can go enough to church and maybe do a little bit of service or put something in the offering box or lift my hands up, and that'll make up for what I did Friday and Saturday night. We do a balancing act. You know what else we do? Like children, we try to cover up our sin, right? You ever see a little kid? What do they do? I don't know how that happened, but you're the only one in the room. I know, but it just did it. Right? That's what we do to God. We sin this week, and then we come in on Sunday, and we're like, oh, that wasn't me, Lord. Oh, and God's going, really? I was there. Here's a great quote. To sin is human business. To justify sin is devilish business. Remember the Lamborghini? Yeah, how could you forget? No. Remember the family fortune? Remember the gun vault? Remember all those things I was talking about? You know, in order to get those things, if you're a part of the family, what do you have to do? Well, you don't give it to a 10-year-old. You wait till they're mature and they can handle it. Right? Don't we have to mature? We have to progress. In God's economy, spiritually speaking, in God's house, some of you may be feeling, God, you know, Pastor, how come there's not like, you know, God things happening in power? Jesus said, remember that? Jesus said, take it off your belt. Here we go. Jesus said, even greater things than what I do, you will do. Let me ask you, how many of you have done greater things than Jesus? Maybe because we haven't matured. Maybe he hasn't given us that key because we haven't matured. Well, Pastor Randy, how do I mature? You live by God's word. You live by God's word. Unfortunately, there are some Christians who should be 30 years old. They look like they're 30, but they act like they're 10. And you still don't give them the keys. Ladies, here you go. Think about this. It's your wedding night, and your big, strong man comes out in Spider-Man underwear. that don't work. It's like, dude, you got to be a man. Put the Spider-Man, put the Transformer underwear away and be a man. Honey, don't you dare tell him. Where is she? She's like, listen, some of y'all, some Christians in the church today are walking around acting like they're men and women walking around with their Teletubby underwear on or whatever. Listen, grow up. Put on Christ. Act like a Christian, Christ-like. Pretend like the Word of God means something to you. Like you, here's a novel thought. Like you actually believe it's from God. So therefore, we should obey it. Doesn't that make sense somewhere in there? Let's continue. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, we talked about last week how in Genesis it said, and the curse for the snake is that her seed, the woman's seed, and his seed will be in enmity, will be against each other. And I said, well, there's prophecy right there of the virgin birth because women don't have seed. And so Mary is the only woman who didn't need seed, for she was self-contained in order to give birth without the help of a man. So therefore, her seed. But look at, I want you to notice here, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, it was the perfect time. Now, here's what I get from atheists. I love this. Atheists will come up to me, hey, pastor, I got a question for you. If God is so real and wants us all to believe, why wouldn't he send Jesus today when we could actually get a video of him, take pictures, record what he says, even see these miracles with our own eyes? Why did he do it way back then when it couldn't be recorded? Ha ha! And then I go, bing, boom, bing. Listen, I'll tell you why. First of all, if Jesus had come today, you know what we would do with him? Be selfies all over Facebook with Jesus. Hey, he'd become a circus act. Everybody would be around. They'd be posting his videos. And then you think there's mocking videos on Jesus now? Imagine if he was out there actually doing these miracles. And by the way, even if he did the miracles today and it was videotaped, people still wouldn't believe it. How do I know? Because back then, when he'd come into a village, he'd heal the whole village. He'd heal everybody. Even the religious leaders said, we know you're of God, but they hated him. Listen, here's the thing. When you love your sin, you can't see God even if he stood right in front of you because you don't want him. It's like that old adage. You know, why can't a thief find a police officer? Because he ain't looking for one. But listen, even if Jesus were to come today, first of all, they would put his image, and then all of a sudden people would be out there, hey, I got a picture of Jesus, $10. You know, all of a sudden, they already merchandise him, and we don't even have pictures of him. They put crosses and painted velvet Jesus playing cards with dogs and stuff. It's weird stuff. They got him all over the place. Jesus on the dashboard with a bobblehead. What is that? By the way, if Jesus were to come today, you and I wouldn't even notice him. Remember, the Bible said there was no beauty. When we see these movies, and he looks like the lead singer from Leonard Skinner. That's not what Jesus looked like. He was ugly. He was unattractive to the hills. The Bible says that there was no beauty in him. No comeliness at all. Zero zilch. If he were here, he'd be the most unattractive person in the room. And we are a society that is drawn to beauty. Outward beauty, not inward. How sad. But there's one very, very, very important reason why Jesus Christ could not come today. Because if he were to come today, they would have made fun of him. They would have mocked him. They would have hated him. They would have made all kinds of horrible videos about him, mocking, just slandering him. But they wouldn't have killed him. not the way he was killed and crucified. So the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So this was the perfect time. So no one would make images. Notice no one carved a painting. Do you notice in the Bible, there's nowhere where it says that some woman was hitting on Jesus, trying to be romantic with him because he was not attractive. The only women who followed him were following him because they knew he was the Messiah and they loved him for the love and compassion that he had on the inside. That's why. It was perfect timing for God's ultimate plan. And it couldn't have been more beautiful. Oh, God. No possible way. And because he came at the right time and he died on the cross, we will ever be royals if we have surrendered our life to him. And then on top of that, we become mature as we obey God's word and not just carry it under your arm. Not just put it on your bookshelf or on your dining table. Not just come and sit in church. But when you actually obey it, then you mature. And then God gives you the keys to the kingdom, the ability to move about with power. Verse 5. So he came at the perfect time, and here you go, proof, to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive adoption as sons. And once again, Paul is saying here, so Judaizers, you legalists, why in the world would you want to now try to earn God's love when he already loved you and adopted you? You don't have to earn it. You're in like Flynn. Now just love him back. So you ever go to a church and the church is telling you got to be baptized, you got to do this, you got to read this, you got to serve this, you got to give so much money. Walk out of there. You don't need that. Just love the Lord. That's all he wants. That's it. That's a beautiful God. That's what distinguishes our God from every other religion. And I tell you this all the time. I'm going to tell it to you blue in the face. There's only two religions in the whole world. There's Christianity, and then there's every other religion. I can put Christianity in my right hand and every other religion in my left hand. Every other religion, I have to work my way to God. Only Christianity says you can't do it if you tried your best. But God worked his way down to us, and he gave us the free gift to be intimate and be adopted as sons because he loves us. Go ask a Muslim if Muhammad loves him. If they've been adopted by Muhammad to reign with him. Yeah. Yeah, right. Spirit reveals, verse 6 through 7. Now, verse 6, if you don't, just skim over it, is mind-numbingly powerful. Especially if you look at it from the Jewish perspective. Let's do that real quick. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, right away, you hear Abba, and I know a lot of you are singing Dancing Queen in your head and thinking about roller skating. That's not the Abba. That's a really, really, really cheesy 80s singing group. But this is Abba. The word Abba means daddy. It's intimate. But please, 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 don't get me wrong. It really bugs me. It irks me. It bothers me. It makes me upset when I talk to someone and say, so you're a believer? Oh, yeah, yeah, me and the man upstairs. And I'm just like, what? The man upstairs? He's my bud. We go way back. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the holy, magnificent, all-powerful God. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your bud. He is Almighty God. But in his word, he's saying we can be intimate enough to him that we can cry out, Daddy, Father. Now, we don't understand this because in this little verse, there are two unbelievable, powerful, mind-numbing truths. And let's look at them. First of all, that God's Spirit, please try and wrap your mind around this, that God's Spirit would inhabit our hearts. I've talked to other Christians and said, hey, you know, if you could go into any era in the Bible, What era would you like to go to? And a lot of times they go, oh man, to be back with Moses when the plagues came and the Ten Commandments, that pillar of fire, and just to experience God like that. And I'm like, do you realize that if you could go back and grab Moses or any of the people, Aaron or any of those guys that were there at that time, they would be saying, no, to be in your time, when that spirit of that pillar, the God that we can't even come close to because he's so powerful, the one that just seeing the afterburners makes Moses' hair glow, that we have to put a bag over his head so he doesn't freak us out. That God is inside of you, and you walk around like you have no clue that he's there. The manna, the pillar, no, that's nothing compared to knowing that who's the Shekinah glory inside the holiest of holies now wants to reside inside of you, inside of that Mexican guy. I know we don't have to talk race. So that guy, that Italian, Indian, Mexican, he doesn't even know what he is, but that guy... Or how about this? Some people say, oh, to go back at the time when Christ was walking around on the earth. Yeah? Listen, the disciples who were right there with him for 3 years didn't even realize that he was God because they all scattered, scared, until they saw him resurrected. And then they became completely new men, which that in alone is mind-blowing study to embark on if you want to do some extra credit work. But if you pulled one of them now and you said, we'd love to go back when you walked with Jesus, and they'd say, no. After the cross, when the Holy Spirit came down, that's when there was power. That when there was intimacy and you could feel God inside you and he was moving and he was using you and to be used by God. Oh, my Lord. Powerful. Now, you have God's Spirit in you when you receive Christ. But then, to be able to call him Father, Daddy? Listen, they would not do that. A Jewish scribe, when he writes down the name of God, would omit the consonants. Just put the vowels. Because he didn't want someone else to be able to utter God's word and perhaps his name and perhaps... mar the name of God. That's why we go Jehovah or Yahweh. We're not sure because all we have are the vowels. And in that scribe, every time he's writing, copying the manuscript, excuse me, getting tongue-tied, he would dip, he'd write it, he'd write God's name, and then he'd go ceremonially clean himself and get rid of the pen and the ink and then come back and start again. And if in the next sentence God's name was there, he would do it again. And he'd keep doing it every time God's name came because it was that holy. You couldn't write it. You couldn't utter it. And now not only can we call him by name, but we can call him Dad. To a Jewish rabbi, to a Jewish person of old, that's mind-blowing. But he's the man upstairs. Oh, yeah, Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. No, what a Savior. Yes, he chooses to call us friend. But we never need to start thinking of him in different ways. We need to give him the reverence that is due his name. Now, there are stages to the daddy thing, right? If you had children first, it's dada, dada, dada. Then it becomes daddy. Then it comes dad. Or my kids go, hey, my son calls me, hey, pops. It's like, pops? What? Am I a soft drink? What am I? Do I fizz? I don't get it. Once in a while, when you want something, father. It's like, now I'm Vader, right? Darth Vader. You're not my father. Anyways. But we get to have God's Spirit in us, changing who we are. Then we get to call him intimately, passionately, Dad. I'm having a rough day. Dad, I'm scared. Life is hard. Dad, I need help. That's a loving God. And then he says, oh yeah, not only you get to call me dad, but you have an inheritance coming that will blow your mind. You have no clue how amazing it is. And you act like a spoiled brat. What am I going to do with you, Randy? Look what he says in verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but sons. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, hold the phone. I get this from people all the time. Well, Pastor Randy, Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 says that I am no longer a slave, but a son. That is why I choose not to serve, but to be served. It's like you come in and you're like, I'm a royal. And you sit down. And it's like, garçon, bring me my bulletin. Let's see what's going on in this church today. Someone bring me some water. You know, people come into church that visit and they're like waiting for people to come up and say hello. And we should, but they don't realize that sometimes there's a lot to do. And it's like, okay, if you're a Christian and you're visiting the church, why aren't you going and saying hello to somebody? Hey, someone runs by and sweat's coming out because they're doing everything. Well, they didn't even say hi to me. I'm a royal. Remember what he said earlier, verse 1? Remember what he said? That little child who's going to inherit anything does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Listen, picture the king. He's got a son or a daughter. As you're training the child up, hey, clean up your room. Pick up your toys. Pick up your Legos. Pick up your stuff. Participate. Hey, son, you can take out the trash. Hey, daughter, why don't you help do the dishes? Why? Does it mean they're not going to get the inheritance? Sure they are, but they must do their part. Yes, they are royal, but they must do their part. But you get those Christians who go, no, I'm just going to put on my Spider-Man underwear and leave me alone. I don't want to grow up. Well, I'm a Toys R Us kid. You get the idea. I just want to play with toys. I don't want to grow up. But wait, don't you remember? Listen, when you had little kids back in this time and they were coming of age, They would take, the young man would take the ball, his ball, his favorite ball, and he'd turn it over, and then he put on new clothes, no more kid clothes. The young girl would turn in her doll, and she'd put on adult clothes. When you accepted Christ, it was time to put off the old clothes and to grow up and put on Christ, to act differently, to act mature. We cannot mature unless we are obeying God's word. Now, you don't have to. That's the cool part. You don't have to obey God's word and you're still an heir to the throne. You're just a 30-year-old man running around with little kid clothes on. Your garanimals, they match. Listen, it's time, brothers and sisters, for us to grow up. Because we're royals. God promises. If we accepted Christ, we are royal. We got an inheritance befalling us. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is in us. Activate it. Stop. I was thinking that. I'm not going there. Gosh. Walk in the Spirit. Do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Obey the word, not because you have to, but because you want to, get to, love to. Don't come to church because, oh, it's Sunday, I got to go to church. Then stay home. Don't come. You're a big baby. You're drooling. You're pooping. Come because you love God, because he died for you. He gave his all for you. Oh, I got time. I think I'll give him 45 minutes. Ooh, aren't you special? Listen, here's what some people do. You know, that pastor, I didn't like that message. I'll go find me another church. Go. Because you'll find one that'll tell you what you want to hear. You'll find one that'll be PC. Listen, I'm not going to be PC. I'm not politically correct. I'm going to be accurate to God's word. Because guess what? I don't wear Spider-Man underwear anymore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for the free gift. God, we thank you that we get to love you back because you already love us. You loved us when we hated you. You loved me when I hated you, when I didn't even believe in you. When I tried to get other people to quit believing in you, when I thought you were a fairy tale, you loved me even then, and that is so mind-blowing. And now you put your spirit in me that I can walk in newness of life, and Lord, that I don't long for the things that I used to long for, and now I get to serve you, and I can walk in power. Oh, my Lord. I get to study your word. I get to share your word. I get to pray for people. I get to counsel. I get to clean up your house. I get to straighten out chairs. I get to vacuum and sweep the floor. I get to put ladders up and pull posters. I get to serve in your house, Lord. I get to be a royal. Oh, my Lord, God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your love and your patience. Thank you for desiring that we would grow up. God, every parent wants their kid to grow up and make something of themselves and be something and walk in maturity. No one wants a kid to grow up and be a 30-year-old drooler. God, may we be Christians who mature by obeying your word because we love you, not because we have to. Oh, my God. You didn't have to go to the cross. You loved to go to the cross for the joy that was set before you. Joy? What, to have a friendship with me? A loser? And to make a loser take a homeless, unwanted person, a drug addict, and make him royalty? God, you are amazing. How could anyone walk away from such a love? It is a fool who says there is no God. Thank you, Lord. I may be a fool, but I ain't foolish. God, I pray. If there's anyone here today that it's never truly surrendered, that they would just surrender, Lord. They would just give it up. Give up the games. Give up the religion. God, you hate religion. That we would enter into sonship. That we would enter into family. Born again into the family of God. That we would love you because you first love us. That we would read because we get to. That we would pray because we get to. That we would come to church because we get to. That we would serve because we get to and we get to mature. God, only you can break a heart. Only you can speak into a life. So I'm leaving it up to you, God. But my desire, Lord, is your desire. That none should perish, that all should come to repentance. God, we love you. Jesus, we adore you. Holy Spirit, oh, we need you. Take control of our lives, that we may surrender our life, and that we may truly live for you, by you, and that you'd be in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.